Our scripture this morning is from the third chapter of James, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh.
James's opening words are a sober reminder for every preacher. So let's pray now before we dive into God's word. Gracious and loving Lord, give us wisdom and courage. Help us to see your face in the pages of Scripture today, that we might know your will, believe it, and make it our way of life. Guide us in this time of study and prayer and worship. Through Christ our light, we pray. Amen. Well, we continue our exploration through the letter of James. And again, this is a letter written for mature, experienced Christians. He's not writing to folks who've never heard of Jesus before. He's writing to people who've been doing this Christianity thing for about 10, 20, 30 years. And he's reminding them of what you need to pay attention to, the dangers that every person faces as they go on in their years and in their faith. So let's dive in. Our scripture begins, "Not many of you should become teachers, my sisters and brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes." James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, he freely admits that no human, save for Jesus, will ever be perfect. Or as my favorite children's book once put it, "Everybody poops." Now, of course, not everyone commits murder. Not everyone shoplifts, but still each of us makes mistakes. We all treat others poorly from time to time. We all do the wrong thing. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But of all the ways we go astray, the most common, perhaps, is in our speech, in the words we say. Or as James writes, anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle, that is, a horse's harness. Words are dangerous because they are so small and fast. If I want to murder someone, I have to use my arms and my legs and my brain. My whole body has to get involved in murdering someone. Hurling an insult takes just one muscle in my mouth. While shoplifting requires speed and stealth and strategy, spreading gossip just takes a few words. Drunk driving requires me to have multiple failures along the way to an accident. But thoughtless words can wound another person with just one mistake. While pulling a muscle requires me to overexert and overstrain my body, with words I can overpromise and underdeliver at no cost to myself and great cost to other people. Words are so hard to control because they require so little to act. Because our tongues, as you saw with our kids, They go so much faster than our brains. Or as James writes in today's scripture, for every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, all of them can be tamed and have been tamed by people. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Our ability to speak is comparatively fast to everything else we do because words are so simple in comparison to actions. And yet because they are so fast, words can escape our lips before our brains have a chance to evaluate them, before our brain has a chance to realize the dangers of what you're about to say, the harm it might do. I think of all the illnesses in the world, of all the sicknesses. James is suggesting here that the hardest disease of all to control is foot-in-mouth disease. I love that pun. And yet, despite the small amount of effort and energy that words require, the damage they can do is immense. James writes, if we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their entire body. Or look at ships. They are so large that it takes a strong wind to drive them forward. And yet, it's a small rudder that guides them wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member of the body, and yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Think about that. Let me give you a few examples. With my fist, I can send maybe one person to a hospital. But a soldier speaking thoughtlessly can betray the movements of armies and sentence thousands to die in ambush with just a few careless words. With a kiss, I can show my wife that I love her, but with the words, I do, I made her my bride forever. Christ's first miracles in the Bible, water into wine, feeding thousands, walking on water, those changed the lives of a few people who saw and experienced those miracles. But the words, the stories of those miracles, those have changed the lives of billions. Words are small and fast, but they have power far beyond their meager size. My muscles can direct only my own body. If I wrestle someone, at best, I'm controlling the will of two people, myself and the person that I'm wrestling. But with words, in conversations and speeches, books and sermons, words can change the minds of thousands. Words have a hidden power beyond action because they are how we humans coordinate, how we work together, how we build a society together. I was told as a child that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Maybe. But words can sure get a whole committee together to get sticks and stones to break my bones. And that's how words can do harm beyond actions. Because language is made for interacting with other people, of getting them together. If you rally people together to do kindness and good, wonderful. Words can draw people together to do harm, whether it be gossip, or whether it be plotting murder, whether it be rumors and insults. Words can extend beyond their reach because they are how we connect to each other. And beyond size and scale and scope, words have a unique power in that they can change your heart over time. If you read the Bible daily, if you study God's word, that'll change your heart. Saying I love you over and over to someone eventually makes you love them even more, whether it be your spouse or a child or someone that you don't like. Saying I love you will reinforce that pattern of love. And spreading gossip about someone reinforces your hate of them because your mind is telling you, hey, I better really dislike that person if I'm saying all these rumors about them. Words, small though they may be, can change our lives and our natures. And a careless or cruel word can do immense damage. Now, please don't think that James or I are saying that talking is altogether bad. I am not saying that you should go put on robes and take a vow of silence. No, I don't want you to give up talking. Rather, James's point is that language and speech have power. He compares the tongue to fire, and that's rightly done. If you control a fire, if you have control over it, you can cook food. You can warm your house. You can power a steam engine if you control fire. If you don't control fire, it will burn your house down. Speech is a tool just like fire, but it's one that lives within us all the time, as opposed to a tool that you have to hold in your hands. And tools aren't good or bad, they just are. If and how and when you use a tool, however, that is good or bad or in between. Because splitting the atom, it can give electricity to millions of people, or it can annihilate a city in a radioactive blast. Nuclear power isn't necessarily good or bad, it just is. What we do with that tool, that is good or bad. And speech is the same thing as fire, as radiation, as anything else. It is a tool, and it has power, immense power. But it's not saying that speaking is bad. He's not saying be silent all the time. He's saying, what do you do with it? Has power. As James writes, with the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. And here's the challenge, here's the puzzle that James is grappling with. Unlike all the rest of creation, we humans are uniquely fickle. We're prone to changing our minds. We're inconsistent. And that's why James goes on in the scripture with his lament. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth water from the same opening, both fresh water and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, give olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. James's point here is that you don't get a spring of water that produces water you can drink and water you can't drink at the same time. Either the water is clean and drinkable, or it is undrinkable. You can't get a spring that does both at once. And in the same way, you can't have a tree that gives you both figs and apples. Well, these days with science you can, but in James's day you couldn't. Either a tree was an apple tree or a fig tree. It couldn't be both. But a human being is not so predictable. We can do many things. We can be inconsistent and flip-flop. With our speech, we can sing hymns to God at this very moment. And with our speech, we can gossip about our fellow churchgoers over coffee right after service. With their words, parents and teachers show children how to live well in the world. And with words, those same mentor figures can destroy a child's sense of security in ways it will take years to undo. We humans, all of us, are unique in God's creation for our ability to change our minds, to be double-minded, to act one way and then another, to resolve to do good and yet do evil all the same. We modern Americans, we like to fool ourselves about that. We like to pretend that people are either all good or all bad. Either someone is Gandhi or they're Adolf Hitler, and there's no in-between. Either they're the devil incarnate or they're a saint. But that's not how people are. James reminds us that every person is a mixed bag of good and evil and in between. James reminds us at the very start that all of us make mistakes, but we all yearn for heaven's perfection. And so we find ourselves with tongues that are fierce and wild, that resist our will and can cause great harm, because we humans have such a difficulty controlling ourselves. And it's especially hard to control the tongue, because it's so small and fast, and yet it has such devastation that it can wreck, such power. But praise be to God. The Apostle Paul gives us such hope when he writes this: if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has gone away, and see, everything has become new. In Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us, and God entrusts to us the message of reconciliation. It's human nature, from a biblical point of view, it's human nature to be inconsistent, to be fickle and flip-flopping. It's normal for every one of us to make mistakes, as James writes, for our mouths to be vehicles for both blessing and cursing. This is the challenge and the danger that faces us all. We humans, by nature, are inconsistent. But the promise of Christianity is that Christ took on our human form so that we could wear the righteousness of God. Christ became lowly that we could be raised high. Christ took on our ever-changing nature so that we might embrace the steadfast love of God. And so complete is this change that Christ makes in us that Paul says we are made new. It's as if the Garden of Eden is starting over again today in your heart, in your soul. But the challenge is that you don't live in paradise yet. I know Lapeer is wonderful, but it's not the Garden of Eden 2.0 yet. And that's the challenge of being a Christian. You live in an in-between time. Christ has won the war, but the battles aren't done yet. Christ has declared you perfect and righteous in God's eyes, but you are still being made perfect and righteous. You aren't quite there yet, but you see the end in sight. You still have some days left on this imperfect and inconsistent world. And so our calling as Christians, what James is encouraging us to do, is to live your life in Christ here today as that new creation. To start living now as if you're already in heaven. To speak to others in ways that reflect the righteousness and grace of Christ. To be self-controlled and thoughtful so that you speak only blessings, never curses or abuse. We are called to reflect the paradise and purity that Christ has won for us already. Well, that's great, but how do you do that? Even if we know that in the end we'll be made new, if in the end we'll be redeemed, we're still inconsistent here today. We still have to pay rent. We still have to deal with this flip-flopping, fickle world. So how do you try to emulate that perfection that awaits us? How do you try to live that today? The tongue is still hard to control. It's so much easier to speak than it is to think. Our brains often need to catch up to our speech. And I think the practical advice, really, it's the only advice I can give, is to slow down your speech. To choose your words with care. To intentionally pause and reflect. Because in slowing down, your mind has a chance to choose the words that actually reflect what you believe. In pausing to speak, you become a better listener who shows that they care about understanding the other person more than they do about getting in the last word or winning the argument. In slowing down, in giving that moment of quiet, you give your heart time to hear the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that prompts you to say the unexpected but necessary thing that you didn't know you needed to say. If you read the Gospels, Christ is the master of saying the right thing at the right time. Whenever he's presented with an impossible scenario, he plucks out the one right thing to say. Now, you and I aren't Jesus. We don't always have the right answer. But if we slow down our speech, we have a greater chance of hearing Christ, of remembering his way of living and speaking and doing, of perhaps imitating his example. As I told the youth in my kids' sermon, I think the easiest way to sum up this Christian calling is the think system. I heard it when I was their age, and I still try to think about it these days. When you think about the think system, it's this. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? That is, does it build up others? Is it necessary to say it? And is it kind? Does it do good for the other person? That think system lets you evaluate the words you're going to say as you slow down your speech. So that you choose them with care, so that they might be a blessing to the other people, and not a curse. The tongue is a ferocious beast, something neither you nor I can ever fully tame. But James is reminding us, I think, that Christ has tamed the tongue, that Christ was human like us but was perfect, and that if we look to Christ, if we emulate him, if we keep him in our gaze, you have a chance to follow in his footsteps. To live a more holy and righteous life now. You have the example of Christ to guide you. You have the hope that Christ gives you that even when you misspeak, the grace of God covers a multitude of sins. But as Christians seeking to deepen our faith, because James was written to mature and experienced Christians, as those who struggle and strive to imitate him and deepen their faith, let us make Christ our example, our goal, and our guide. And one way we can do that is by slowing down our speech so we might hear that voice of God giving us guidance on what to say or not say. Praise be to God for the gift of speech, for all the blessings we may use it for. Amen.